welcome to Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson. Hello and welcome to Stressless Radio and welcome to spring. This is the first full week of spring 2012, and we are going to kick it off with talking about planting your soul seeds. And then later in the show, we are going to be talking about women and how they spend their time. There was this great article in the April edition of Real Simple Magazine, and fabulous talk about time in there. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I'm going to give you some life coaching tips so you can get a grip on some of the areas where you might be letting time just sort of slip away. But let's get started with planting soul seeds. Now, that's probably a term you haven't heard before, soul seeds, but it's something I've sort of came up with a couple years ago. You know, spring brings a lot of optimism and hope, so I feel like it's a great time to plant your soul seeds. Now, what a soul seed is this sort of high-level attribute like compassion, generosity, motivation, love, and confidence. So again, these are sort of the things that we might aspire to, the qualities that help us be better human beings, which is really important, especially right now with a lot of upheaval in our world and in our economy and our country. So planting a soul seed quality helps make us have better contributions to the world. We're more valuable to our community and the world in general. So as we roll into spring, I want you to look at one attribute that inspires you and moves you at the soul level. That's the whole point behind a soul seed, is that you want it to really touch your soul and move you into action, move you into being a better person. So how do you pick a soul seed? How do you come up with a soul seed? Well, the best place to start is to look at one of your heroes and just pick a quality that you really admire. Look at the type of person that you want to be, the type of person you aspire to be. And there's no need to overthink it, because I know I would definitely have a tendency to just totally overthink it. All these types of attributes are really great, so you really can't go wrong. Again, don't overthink it. So some examples of these soul seed sort of inspirational human qualities might be love. Maybe you want to be a more loving person, maybe a more compassionate person, maybe a more giving person, a more empathetic person, a person who's more motivated, a person who has more confidence. Again, these are sort of those higher level values, a person who's even more honest. They're those higher, a person with more integrity. I can't even finish my sentence. They're just rolling in. So they're those higher level aspirational qualities. That is what you're going to do. You're going to pick one of those. So once you've picked a soul seed, you're going to brainstorm five areas of your life where you can actually plant your soul seed. Now, look at how you can bring that quality into all areas of your life. So say you pick your relationships, your work, your spirit life, your home, and your community. Those are great five areas. I'm going to repeat them one more time so you have them. Your relationships. So this is family and even just your relationship with your hairstylist or the person at the post office. So number one, relationships, your work, your spirit, your home, and your community. So you're going to look at where you can plant your soul seeds in those areas of life. So for instance, say compassion is your soul seed. You can bring more into your home when your kids are getting ready for school in the morning. Just realize that maybe they really do have a hard time waking up and they aren't just trying to irritate you by moving in slow motion. You know, that's where a lot of parents' heads go. They don't necessarily aren't morning people either. So here you are, you've got the situation that's time sensitive and you're trying to get the kids moving and they're just irritating you. Take a step back. Have some compassion. Realize that their brain really might not be functioning. So that's one way you could bring that into your family life. And then maybe on the community level, you might practice compassion for someone with a different political view than you have. You know, we're leading up to the elections this year. Instead of just, you know, really wanting to be the one who's got the right answer, the one who maybe feels a little self-righteous or superior, maybe you can realize that nobody has the exact correct answer. So you can still have your viewpoint, but be compassionate for people on the other side of the table from you. How about compassion in your spiritual life? You know, for me, whenever I get this amazing spiritual feeling or this spiritual revelation or inspiration, I want to act on it all at once. I want more. It's kind of a little high, and I want more, and I want to keep fostering that. And I expect things to happen quickly after that. You know, I got it. I understand. I got the message, and now I'm going to move forward with it. Well, maybe compassion is just taking things a little slowly. Let them flow to you instead of trying to force more spiritual growth. That one's a big one for me. As I've shared in the past, I used to be a perfectionist, and some of those habits still run deep. I'm not a perfectionist, but I do sometimes want to force things a little more than, especially in the spiritual life, they need to be. So again, it's about taking that attribute and applying it to all the different areas of your life. And I just love to do this in spring because of that hope and optimism in the air. I think it's just easier for people, and myself included, to just be able to grab onto one of these wonderful inspirational qualities and move forward in your life with it. Also, it's kind of nice because for those of you who do bookkeeping or maybe other business type things, you might realize we're getting to the end of a quarter. So this planting a soul seed is different than a New Year's resolution usually. A New Year's resolution often has a very practical nature. You know, you want to lose weight. You want to tighten your finances. You want to get out of debt. It's a very tangible, practical thing. This is a little bit different, but yet it comes at such a nice time when you've either got 3 months of your resolution under your belt, or maybe you've abandoned your resolution because it's not really right for you. Pick up a soul seed and plant it. It's just a great time to do that. So I encourage you all to do that with spring. And it seems like also when spring comes, the days get longer. We just have a little more time and energy to be able to devote to things like this. So again, pick a soul seed, something like love, motivation, confidence, compassion, empathy, and plant it in the different areas of your lives. And by the way, I would love to hear about the soul seeds you are planting this spring. You can leave me a message on my Facebook page. That's Facebook. And just search on JJ the Life Coach, like me, and then let me know what soul seeds you're planting this spring. As for me, I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back. And again, we're going to talk about women and how we use our time. Where does it go? You know, are you one of the people who has enough time, or are you one of the ones who feels kind of strapped? Well, we're going to talk about it right after this. Deadlines, bills, lists, budgets, sickness, divorce, clutter, debt, worry, stress. Why spend another day disconnected and stressed out? It's time to break out of those old patterns and start living life easy with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution. Improve communications and relationships, find focus, create confidence, and live with more passion, purpose, and fun. The Live Life Easy Stress Solution is an at-home study course on sale now at www.stresssolutiondvd.com. That's all one word, stresssolutiondvd.com. Welcome back to Stressless Radio. I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson, and you are listening to Stressless Radio exclusively on the amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 radio network powered by Raven International. And I'm so glad you could join us today. As I was saying, we were talking about soul seeds before the break, and some of you out there might be saying, planting a soul seed into 5 areas of my life, how can I possibly find the time to do that? I am so strapped for time, I don't have a second in my day, right? Some of you aren't saying that. I know that to be true. Well, we are going to look at a fabulous article called Woman in Time from the April edition of Real Simple magazine. And hopefully, I'm going to give you a couple life coaching tips too. Hopefully, we will be able to
Get a grip.
That's right. Get a grip on our time. Again, this is Real Simple Magazine. Their article called Women in Time. And let me just page back a little bit here. I'll be paging through it. This is about a survey that was conducted by Real Simples and the Families and Work Institute, which is a nonprofit research organization. And in this survey, they asked 3,200 American women between the ages of 25 about the who, the why, the what, the when concerning their free time. And some of the findings might be kind of surprising. Some you might be going, oh yeah, that's me. I totally understand that. So I'm going to go through a couple things, but this is a fabulous article. Again, I encourage you to pick up the magazine because it's just pages and pages of data. And my belief is once you know something, once you can identify where maybe you're having a time leak, then you can make the change. But maybe it takes something like a life coach or a friend or an article to really point you in the right direction. So like I said, some of you out there are probably thinking, I have no time. And if you're one of those people, you're in good company because this survey says that 49% of American women say that they do not have enough time. That's 49%. So just shy of half of American women believe that they don't have enough time. And what takes their time? Well, children, their parents or other elders who are in their life, their spouse, and household chores. Now, what's interesting to me is that children does, you know, top the charts. Children, 43% rated children as the biggest thing that takes their time. Parents and elders came in second with 21%, and the spouse and household chores came in third with 16%. Now, that also made me wonder, because I know how things go in my household. Of course, especially when my child was young, it was all about her when she was an infant and a toddler, those first 5 years of her life about. It was really all about her. So there really just wasn't much time left for my spouse, unfortunately. And so I'm wondering about the findings in there too. If the reason people aren't saying their spouse is just because, you know, the spouse is kind of coming in a little late there. So what's interesting though is that the jobs weren't really the issue. You know, you think, especially if you're a person who works out of the home, you would think that that would be the primary, you know, time suck, excuse me for saying that, but, you know, because you spend so many hours at work, especially if you're a full-time working mom. But more than two-thirds of the people surveyed said it's not their jobs that interfere with their personal lives. And more than half say they rarely or never put their jobs before personal lives. So we need to get rid of that myth then that's in our mind that it's all about the job that's taking our time. You know, it's not. So if it's not the job, what is the problem? Well, well, we looked at, you know, children, spouse, household chores, and parents and others, elders. But what really, when they dug down even deeper, what it really came down to is what's on the to-do list. Women are doing a lot of chores. So for instance, again, this might sound familiar to you, a lot of things that are on a woman's to-do list include planning children's activities, laundry, organizing, grocery shopping, decorating, cleaning, other household errands, taking children to activities, cooking, helping children with homework, and managing household finances. While on the flip side, our spouses, the men in our lives, on their to-do list is often home repairs and improvements and gardening and yard work. So there's a little bit of a difference there, little bit of a difference in the to-do list. So just something to look at. And these researchers did actually look at what the deal was. And guess what? The problem is that we women are not delegating. We don't delegate our tasks to our spouses. So it's not that the men are just, you know, sitting around doing nothing because they don't, you know, they don't want to. We aren't asking for their help. And here's the reason why. Number one reason is that when it comes to the children side of things, which again, that's 43% of the women said that the children is the biggest taker of our spare time. I just enjoy doing things with my children. I enjoy doing it, so I'm choosing to do that. Okay? Great. I love to do things with my child too. That's one of the reasons I had her, was so that we could have all kinds of fun going to fairs and zoos and doing all that sort of fun stuff. So just keep in mind that if you enjoy doing things with your children and you're spending a lot of time doing things with their children, if you find you don't have much free time, well, that is a choice you're making. And realize that, you know, you're still having a great quality of life if you're enjoying spending that time with kids. In other words, don't complain about it, you know, and this study doesn't say that women are, but that is number one reason that, you know, we don't delegate some of the childcare activities to our spouse. Number two, the reason that women do not delegate tasks to their spouses: if I did less around the house or with my kids, I'd feel like I wasn't taking care of them properly. Hello. Now, as you know, I'm a fearless living life coach. I was trained all about emotional fears and the emotional fears that we have and how they can keep us stuck or hold us back in our lives, not serve us. This here is an emotional fear. I'm not going to feel important. I'm not going to feel like I'm doing enough. I'm not going to feel like I'm contributing enough if I do less around the house. In other words, you're equating your worth with what you're doing. So you're scared that if you don't do everything that you do, people are going to think less of you, or you're going to think less of yourself. Very interesting. Do you measure your value by that to-do list that we talked about earlier? Maybe something to ponder. And I know for me, work was a huge factor for me. I'm raised in the United States. I'm raised in the Midwest. I have Scottish heritage. I mean, there's the work ethic all over me. It's running through my veins. It's in my genes. And again, I don't want to say that, you know, you should become a lazy bum, but are you putting your value of your self-worth on how much stuff you do? And I've done it. I know what it's like, and it's a horrible trap that leads to a life that's not very fun, and you end up actually missing out on those wonderful moments with your spouse and your kids. So just evaluate that. Number three reason we don't delegate tasks to our spouses is, I don't believe my partner would do the household chores the way I want them done. In other words, you have standards that you don't think your spouse can keep. So here's what you're saying. Here's the bottom line. This is what life coaches do. We get to the bottom line. You're saying, it is more important for you to have that floor cleaned perfectly to your specifications than to have some extra time to spend with your spouse and kids. And not only that, but are you taking away some accountability from your spouse? Are you enabling your spouse to do less? Are you enabling him to not be as big a part of the family or your kids? You might not be delegating tasks to your kids. Are you holding them back from learning how to keep a house and how to become a responsible, mature adult? I know those are difficult questions to think about sometimes. Very difficult. So basically, do you want that spick and span floor? Or do you want a little more time in your life, a little more time for the things that you want to pursue, like activities with your kids and spouse, or planting your soul seed? Maybe you want to give more to your community, more to your spiritual life, more to your health, more to your job. And this is a place where you can find some more time. Now, I want to get back to this because this is my biggest life coaching tip I'm going to give, is on delegating work to spouses. So if you think that you'd like to make that move, your to-do list is getting a little long and you'd like to delegate to your spouse or your kids, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we do, I just wanted to talk about one more thing from this article. Again, I want to remind you, I'm reading from the Real Simple magazine, April 2012 edition. And the other thing about, and this was not a shock to me, but it was nice to see it validated. The other thing about women and our free time, our downtime, quote unquote, is that women's free time is more likely to be contaminated, fragmented, and interrupted than men's. So contaminated time refers to when we have a leisure activity or downtime that is combined with something else like housework or childcare. Okay? So basically my downtime, if I am cooking dinner, is not really downtime. My free time taking my daughter to see a movie, again, might be a wonderful, beautiful activity that I love to do, but it's not alone time. It's contaminated. It's not my own space, my own free time. So, and it doesn't really give us an opportunity to recharge our batteries as women. And that's really, really important. Now, men, on the other hand, had better access to pure adult leisure with no children present. So they were doing things that they were really freely choosing to do and getting that time again to sort of recharge and recoup, a little personal downtime. So I encourage you to also look for those times in the day when you can have some uncontaminated free time for yourself, because it is oh so important, especially as women with these to-do lists we're talking about, and the fact that we do take on a lot. Still we take on a lot around the house and when it comes to child rearing. So like I said, to help you get a grip on time, I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe making the shift to delegating some of your household chores. And what I love to do for this is to really start, instead of thinking of yourself as the one who does it, well, I'm the only one who does it right, I'm the only one who can do it, I'm the one who's in charge of this. Instead of thinking about that, start to shift your mindset and realize that as a family, whether it's a family with children who are in the house or it's just you and your spouse, you are a team. And maybe you are, you know, the manager of the household, and that's fine to take on that role, but that means managing. It doesn't mean doing everything. So start to think of yourself as a team. And just putting your frame of reference into that teamwork mode will really help a lot. I'm going to go back to caveman brain thinking a little bit about this mind shift into a teamwork type of thing. You know, if it's all about you being in control of things, you're automatically putting yourself into that primitive caveman portion of our brain. You know, it's you against the world. And that caveman brain is all about survival. So it automatically, no matter how much you love your family and your spouse, the caveman portion of your brain, that little primitive deep limbic system, is seeing them as the enemy. It's you against them. And there's nothing you can do about that. That is genetics. That's the way our brain operates. So if you're in that mindset, that's what your brain is doing. So automatically, when you start to think of your family as a team, you're shifting out of that caveman brain. You're using those more advanced portions of your brain, the human side of our brain. And it changes everything to be able to access those wonderful parts of our brain that we have, those gifts that we have, the communication, instead of communicating like a caveman. So shifting into the teamwork mode. Now, what I love to do is to have a meeting, a family type meeting, to build your chore team. Now, nobody really loves to do chores, and asking your spouse or children to take on more might come with a little resistance. So you're going to come at it, you know, rah, 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 we're going to be a team, yay. But there are some chores, even though, you know, kids might not like them, there are some that they don't mind as much. And then there are others that they hate. So sit down as a family and find out, just chat. Say, you know, which ones don't you mind so much? You might find your daughter does not mind vacuuming, but she hates to dust. But maybe your husband doesn't mind dusting. It's not a big deal for him. You know, you're automatically filling in the jobs around the house with things that people don't mind doing as much, and you're going to get less resistance. So try to assign as many chores as you can based on that. And then you just check in with your family. You know, you sort of see, okay, we're going to try this week. We're going to come back next week or maybe 2 weeks, you know, whatever works for your family. We're going to come back and we're going to assess. So don't think that you're going to always be stuck vacuuming. You know, let's just come back in a couple weeks, discuss how this is going for us. You might find that things need to be shifted. And that's another huge part of behaving like a team, is to be able to understand that you're not setting things in stone. Okay. You are coming to an agreement, but that agreement is negotiable. You can negotiate things. Maybe you have a family member who likes to change it up every couple weeks. Well, then maybe you can do something a little bit differently. Maybe you've got someone who just, they aren't home enough to clean the bathroom. You know, the bathroom maybe needs to be cleaned twice a week in your household. It's a very high traffic bathroom. And this person has a job. You know, maybe it's a teenager who has a job and is out with friends, and that's just not going to work for him, even though he might be the best person for the job, right? That's where you come together as a team and you talk it out. Maybe he does it only once a week and you're going to fill in that second time. But you're going to be reclaiming some of your time, and think of how empowered your family is going to be acting as a team. Now I realize that for some of you, that is going to mean the toilet isn't going to be scrubbed perfectly. And you know what? Remember, just let it go. Just let it go. Maybe you're the one who gets in there once a month and does a deep cleaning. So you know that at least once a month it's getting scrubbed to your standards. But otherwise, the other 3 weeks, let it go, because it's really important to show your family that you're ready to work as a team, that you're not going to be micromanaging. And it's really important for you to be able to claim back that time without the stress. Right? If you're micromanaging, you're just going to be stressing out more. And as you know, I'm all about stressing less and living more. And that's what this whole article is about. It's about stressing less and living more. Whether that means delegating, whether that means shifting some of your time around in your life, whether that means carving out those moments for you, even if it's 15 minutes a day where you have alone time that is uncontaminated, uninterrupted. You're not doing any household work. You're not doing any childcare. You're not with your spouse. You are by yourself. It's all about those things that allow you to live more, be more of you, learn more about yourself. What happens when you take those standards away? What happens when you do have a little more time? What do you want to spend that time on? Maybe you want to plant a soul seed in your extra time, you know? Maybe you want to grow as a person. It's all about living more. And you know, I throw that tagline around a lot with this show, but I really want you to understand, stress is keeping you from living the life that your soul, that your spirit really wants to live, the life that your soul and spirit intended. So again, I encourage you, look at the spring, look at an attribute that you want to take on, that you want to be a better person, something that inspires your soul, right? Because your soul's calling out to you. You can feel it, especially in springtime. Pick an attribute: compassion, mercy, empathy, love, motivation, confidence, whatever it might be. Pick it, plant it. Find the areas in your life where you can practice that attribute. And then finally, look at your free time. Look at how you spend your time. Again, your job is not your excuse. Where are you letting time slip away from you, where you can find more time to do the things that you love and reconnect with yourself? That's really what it's all about, reconnecting with yourself. So I'm out of time today. I hope you reconnect with yourself this week, and I hope you reconnect with me next week here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International. I'm JJ Fredrickson, the host of Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I apologize, I'm a little behind on my website right now, but you can visit me. There are still a lot of resources and archives on stresslessradio.com. And of course, I love to get your feedback on my Facebook page. Just check me out, JJ the Life Coach on Facebook. So have a great first full week of spring, and I can't wait to hear from you and talk to you next week here on Stressless Radio.